More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Late Saturday afternoon, surfers will descend on Atwater Beach on Lake Michigan's shore in Milwaukee County. But this will be more than rugged types braving the elements in search of a good wave. It is a celebration organized by the Wisconsin chapter of a national group called Surf Rider Foundation. Now in its second year, Surf Atwater features everything from a film festival to surfing lessons. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz paddled down to the beach, surfboard in hand, to meet with a couple of the event organizers. They explain why they think surfing can help connect people to the important mission to protect the Great Lakes. But first, they introduce themselves.
I'm Eric Gitson. I'm a teacher. I'm a Shorewood native. I'm the chairman of Wisconsin Surf Rider Foundation.
My name is Kenneth Cole, Shorewood resident and psychologist and also surfer and vice chairman as well.
So let's dip back. How did you come to the world of surfing?
I did my internship on Wahoo back in 94, and that was from Chicago, and fell in love with it right away. And it's the type of thing that once you start, it's hard to stop. So when I moved back to the Midwest, I did an internet search and found out that folks were surfing in the Great Lakes and just dove headfirst back into it.
I guess my first encounter with a wave on Lake Michigan was when I was two, and a wave knocked me down and pulled me out. I almost died. Ever since, I've been, you know, negotiating with waves on Lake Michigan. In 1986, a very good friend of mine came home with a surfboard he found in Madison in a junk pile, and we took it out. That's when we got hooked. And like Ken said, once you start surfing, it's hard to stop.
So when you surf here, what are the right conditions and how far out do you go to catch it and really ride it in?
We're all watching wind. We have our eyes on what the wind is going to do, you know, a week or 2 weeks out. And we know that when there's a strong enough wind from the north or the south, depending on what direction and velocity of the wind, we kind of know what the equation is and where the waves are going to be breaking.
So as we're looking out here, where might you be?
We usually go no further out than a little bit past the end of the piers. Oh, fish just jumped out there. A little bit past the end of the piers.
Is that for real? Or you're just saying that
no,
because
really
you're.
Fish really did just jump. That fish jumped. It's pretty cool. The other night I went out. I went a little bit farther out. Depending how big the waves are, you can go farther out. If the wind is really cranking, you can get out. There's some big waves way outside. On a smaller day, we'll be in the middle here. And they'll be breaking in the middle.
And that's one of the things, too, that is unique. Back in Hawaii, where I learned, the vibe is amazing. You can find your pockets of guys and have some great friends there. But when I came back here, it kind of reminds me of really the islands. The vibe, the stoke is extremely high. And I remember when I saw Eric again for the first time, I saw this guy on a board just said, hey, and I didn't know who he was. Because, you know, we're both a little bit older now. But the fact that 12 years can go by and you can come right back and pick up just where you left off really says a lot about the people we have here in the Great Lakes.
Ken's exactly right. A lot of coastal surfers will compare what we have here to what they had back in the 50s, the 40s and the 50s, sort of the golden age of surfing when there wasn't a lot of aggression in the water, which you'll find on the coasts these days. There wasn't a lot of commercialism in the water, which you'll definitely find on the coast these days. What you have here is still, to this day, I mean, 1986, there were probably 10 of us, you know, in the metro Milwaukee area who were surfing. Now there are, I don't know, hundreds who surf, but we still have this great feeling, this vibe among us that, you know, we do something kind of crazy and kind of unique, and it's nothing like the ocean. I mean, let's get that straight. Ocean waves are better, but what we have here.
I thought you'd say different.
No, they're definitely better. They're definitely better. But what we have here that's the same is we pursue waves here. We look for good surf. We talk about waves when we're in the water. We love it. You know, a February day, it's 20 degrees out, and, you know, I'm out with three of my friends and maybe my sons, and we're surfing. The sun comes out. It's like it's paradise. So that feeling is something special to the Great Lakes that I think the coasts have lost.
So stoke, are you talking about being stoked?
How would you define stoke?
It's
just feeling good. Simply feeling happy. And I mean, just even now, if you listen, I have to assume that you'd rather be here in silence than at home in front of the TV. So even this is a level of stoke that you can't capture anywhere else.
When I first talked to you, I thought, well, wouldn't this be at Bradford Beach? I mean, doesn't everything happen at Bradford Beach? But part of what you said Eric, is that you're mindful of the mission.
Right, yeah. And the mission is to, as Ken just said, make people aware of this amazing resource that we have and not necessarily a lot of other stuff. We want to get them in the water. We want to get them ultimately to love the water. And then we want to share some films that surfers have made to help, you know, the audience make a connection between where they live, what we do, and the potential of this resource. Whether it's paddling, surfing, swimming, it doesn't matter. We want to get people in the lake so they love it. So the scale of the event, obviously we have boundaries, geographic boundaries on the beach right here. But also, you know, one of the boundaries we've drawn is we want the event to be appropriately scaled for a fun event, but not something of the scale of Bradford Beach.
So there's been a lot of attention in this spot. The bluff was completely rebuilt and shored up. Over the last 3 years, I think there's been a concerted effort to inform people who live right here what the importance of our Great Lake and the Great Lakes, our waters are. Ken tells me that's part of your scene.
It is part of my scene. In my other life, I'm an English teacher at Shorewood High School, and I am part of an amazing program called Watershed Wisdom, where we teach our students about the value of the Milwaukee River watershed and some of the challenges of the Milwaukee River watershed. So the health of our rivers directly connects to this pursuit that Ken and I are involved in of surfing. And making that connection for my students, bringing them down here, putting them in the Milwaukee River, talking to them about surfing, which is, you know, kind of a fun, cool activity, helps them understand that if you can love it, you can save it. And we're at a point now in the Great Lakes. We need more and more people to be aware of the fact that that our waters need to be protected and saved. But we're not going to do that unless we really love it. And what Ken and I do, what some of my students are now doing, I'll see students in the lineup now. It's really cool. I'll see like 6 or 7 of my students in the water on a good day. We're teaching them to love this lake. And when you love something, you will protect it. But the love's got to come first.
What's your concern about the lakes? Climate change rumbling through your brain?
Not so much climate change, but non-point source pollutants are, I guess, the biggest issue.
That's all part of what the Shorewood Group is trying to inform people about, right? I mean, what we do in our homes and what happens on our streets and our green spaces is impacting the lake.
Well, what just happened to Lake Erie, it may or may not happen here, but what we have in common is phosphorus. That's what caused the problem in Lake Erie. Plenty of phosphorus being dumped on our shorelines and our watersheds. So that's just one example of...
So phosphorus in the form of fertilizer, usually.
Exactly, yeah, which contributes to the cladophora growth. And when cladophora starts washing up on our shorelines and people look at it and smell it and see it, they say, that's disgusting, I'm going to the pool. We need to reverse that dynamic and get people to understand that, you know, the cycle that creates that eyesore and that smell is something that's going to keep them away from this. And if we start ignoring it, we're going to lose it.
What do you think can be achieved through your efforts?
Get out on a board, experience the lake, as Ken said earlier, from a different perspective, and you'll embrace it in ways you never thought were possible.
Which is partly why I think our films are different this year, too. Last year, we had a great selection of films, and our buddy Ryan pulled that together. This year, he has pulled together a different batch of films that we think will welcome more folks to the lake. One is about an African-American surfer from the 1950s that very few know about. And another one is about women over 50, I think, who surf. And they're both really, really moving. And then, of course, we have one about Great Lake surfers. It lets people know that surfing goes beyond the surfer dude mentality, or image rather, and is really open to all folks, which is something I, for one, would like to gradually see more of here. Because I think it's important for people to come down and feel like they are welcome here.
Ken just mentioned Ryan Bigelow. He's been a part of the surf scene here forever. He is our film guru and part of the original group of the Great Lakes Surf Collective.
How did you decide on last year's event? What brought that together?
You know,
it was organic.
It was really organic. It was.
Yeah. I think it goes back to Glenn Henning, who started Surfrider 30 years ago. He is a friend of ours, and I spoke with him a while ago. And he had said, much like you had said, Eric, if you want to protect something, you can't just do a beach cleanup. It has to go much, much, much beyond that. Because basically, I mean, honestly, who wants to pick up trash in the first place? So he was saying, you have to do something that makes the beach exciting and fun. And then we just brainstormed over coffee, and it just came together.
You know, Ryan was throwing out some great ideas about films. Eventually, it became a film fest, and it really still is. It's just that this year we're making it a little more interesting. We've got a Hawaiian band coming. We've got prone surfing and stand-up surfing lessons.
Ukulele.
We've got ukulele, yeah. So trying to get that aloha vibe right here in Shorewood.
And you both play, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
And one thing we have to mention, too, which must be told, this event brings surfing back to its roots. Tom Blake was born here in 1902. And he is, in essence, the reason why we're here. He's a Wisconsin native who, kind of on his own, has helped invent the fin, the hollow surfboard, and has brought surfing to where it's at today. And that's something most folks have no idea about.
That was Kenneth Cole and Eric Gitson. The Shorewood residents are chair and co-chair of Surfrider Foundation Wisconsin. There is more about Saturday's second annual Surf at Water event at wuwm.com/lakeeffect.